Thank you. Well, I was in Reading yesterday. I say I was parents, and then and so I've got daughters, and they gave me my card, and they gave me this little gift. And when I opened this little gift, it simply said, "For the small things that you do, the small things that you do." It is sometimes the small things that we do for people that have a great effect. But as I sat with them, I thought, do you know, I don't see them that often. And I just think, there's just something lovely as we sat around that dinner table with my girls, having a curry. Oof! And it is a simple thing that sometimes means the most to us. It was a simple dinner table. That's typical of families, isn't it? Sometimes you don't have to be around your family all the time, but when you see them, it's just, isn't it? It's just, wow. It's just nice, isn't it? Just nice to be with families. And I don't know what a typical family is in 2019. I know in biblical times there was a completely different concept. And today we're going to look at a family. And you probably would never conceive how you could speak on Father's Day on this family. But we are, and I'm going to ask Janet to read, and you'll find out the guy who we're going to talk about today. He's a typical family.
The reading comes from Job 1, verses 4 and 5. Job's sons would take turns preparing the feast in their homes, and they would also invite their three sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after 7 days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. But Job said to himself, "Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts." This is Job's written practice.
So Job, Avril said to me, "Job, you're speaking on Job." Emma couldn't be here this morning. And Emma said to me during the week, "So what are you going to speak on? Because I'm going to miss it on Sunday." I said, "I'm going to speak on Job." She said, "Job? So Job obviously hasn't got a very good character, has he? You speak on Job." But do you know, Job was an amazing father. He mentions his word children now, but they're actually adults. They're probably around about Simon's age. All right? Probably in their mid-40s. But there's something that Job was so concerned about. Job said, "I want to be a great father." And Job has some valuable lessons off this one verse. This, just going to speak on this one verse. And Job has some great lessons to learn. And the first one is that he was a watchful father. He was a watchful father. It says one of the outstanding details of Job's relationship with his children is his readiness to be aware of what was going on. He was always watching out for his children. And can I tell you, he said, "I wonder, they're having a party today, I wonder what is going on. You know, I need to make sure that they're okay." He was a watchful father. Do you remember the prodigal son? The father was watching out every day for his child to come home. And of course, he wasn't a child, was he? He was a grown-up man. But you see, parenthood is—it's a bit like the advert. A dog is not just—what is it? A dog is not just for Christmas. Is that what it says?
A dog is for life.
A dog is for life, not just for Christmas. And that's to say, my wife is for life. It's my wife's special birthday, and so she said, "Will you take me somewhere new?" So I took her into the kitchen. "My wife isn't here, and you won't tell her." But you see, Job was such an attentive father that Job was concerned about his children. And it wasn't that Job was concerned about his children because they were children. Job was concerned because no matter how old they were, he wanted to guide them morally and spiritually, to bring them up to the best that they could possibly be. I wonder, fathers, it isn't just for till you get away from home at 16 and 17. Can I tell you, a parent is for life. It really is. And an input. And children need to understand this, that even when they grow up and think they know everything, Curtis, think they know everything, that actually they don't know everything. All right? And sometimes wisdom is still in parents who have gone through the process. Trust us, we've gone through stuff, Curtis, that we don't want you to go through. I'm not talking about that young lady beside you because... No, seriously. No, Danielle has told me she's perfect. So I can't say anything. And besides, she's not my problem. Till she comes back from Bournemouth. But we can. We get to an age where we think, oh, children have left home now, that's it. Can I say, Job said no. Job said this, I'm a watchful father. And I know what's going on. And I want to make sure. You see, I believe, this is the next note. In my opinion, I read it below that Job was concerned for the spiritual welfare of his children. And therefore made it his business to watch out for their souls. You've just read the verse, haven't you? And Job woke up early in the morning and thought, I wonder, my children have been partying. I wonder whether or not they've overstepped the mark. That's a concern, isn't it? A lovely parent is saying, do you know something? I know they're in their 30s. I know they're adults. But that doesn't mean to say that I can't be a parent watching out for my children. That I can't be concerned. And I wonder if parents, I hope we don't ever lose that, fathers. Now listen, you need to be concerned about your children no matter what age they are. And you need to be spiritually concerned. And I wonder if we pray for our children. I wonder when our children are in bed, you go outside their bedroom door and you just pray over them. Because there's nothing better than the power of prayer. Father, keep my children safe tonight. Children are prone for dreams, aren't they? Father, would you make sure that they dream about Jesus tonight? Father, when they go to school, will you make sure they're not bullied in the schoolyard? I believe my Father, my Heavenly Father, is so interested in your children. I believe he wants them to grow up to be, in all seriousness, like Curtis and Daniel, good young people who love God, and I hope God wants to serve God in all seriousness. But they need love, care, and parental care. And they will get it here. I often sit with Curtis. Often have a good chat with them. Tonight we're doing the youth club and we're with the teenagers. We'll sit and chat with them. Friend, we need to direct our children in the ways of the Lord. We need to be good parents. And Job had a real, real concern. It seems that we are informed that Job families used to meet. You see, it is important, like I just said, families to meet. We had a great time last night, as I said. It's a great families to meet. And we notice what the scripture said. They didn't exclude their sisters. So it was obviously they used to like to party. This family liked to party, Jane. Job's sons and daughters knew how to party. And so it was important that they all met together and that it says they had a rota. And they all took turns to go to each of the person's house to party. And he had lots of sons and daughters, so there was a lot of parties going on. And so everybody took their turn to everyone's house for a party. Seems okay to me. And good family parties. But you see, Job was concerned because he was a watchful father at what was going on at the party. And Job said, he rose up early in the morning. Okay, this is the fifth day. They've been to, obviously, Fred's house today. And tomorrow they're going to Sarah's house because they took their turns. And it wasn't unusual for families to have these celebrations. In fact, in China, they had what was called men fraternities. And there'd be a group of 30 men. And they would take turn each day to go and party at one of that guy's houses. About 30 men, so another they partied every day of the month. well, probably 31. I don't know what they did on leap year. But what I'm saying is it wasn't unusual to go round other people's houses and partying. And you see, Job was very concerned of what they were doing. In fact, Job was such a man of integrity, this is what he says. Let's read that together. But I made an agreement with my eyes. You see, Job's so concerned about his moral responsibility that Job decided he would never look at a woman and anyone else but look at her as a woman. He was never going to look at her as a sexual object. No matter how provocatively dressed she was. Job said, I've made a decision to watch over myself. And I want to tell you, fathers, we need to be fathers of integrity to pass on integrity to our children. Job was a man who took his responsibilities of fatherhood very seriously. So seriously that he made a covenant with God. And a covenant with God is an agreement with God. That's how far Job went down the line. Even in Job's days, he knew how to look at someone in a right way, in a right manner. But Job also was a worshipful father. And so he directs his children. This is what it says. His directness to his children to sanctify themselves and prepare offerings for them. Job did this every time. Job chapter 1 verse 5 makes Job, he's saying, listen, you need to make sure that you have not overstepped the mark when you've gone to the parties. And just in case you have, I'm going to go out and prepare an offering. Because you have to remember in the Old Testament days, you brought a lamb to the priest. This shows you that it was in the patriarchal days of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Job was born in the patriarchal days of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Because it was the responsibility of the father in Abraham's days, Isaac's days, and Jacob's days to prepare offerings in case your children had overstepped the mark and sinned. Now, of course, today we're all responsible. But in those days, the father's responsibility was mega. And it was his job to ensure that if any of his children had to step out, and mind, this is not a joke concept. The very first man in the Bible did. You remember Adam must have taught his two sons Cain and Abel because they both brought sacrifices to the Lord. Do you remember? And it was Cain's downfall, wasn't it? Because he didn't bring the right sacrifice, got himself upset and went out and murdered his brother. But Adam must have taught him the value of sacrifice. The value of bringing something to God. And so Job, not only was he a watchful father, not only was he saying, I wonder what they've been up to. He said, just in case they've overstepped the mark, I need to be a worshipful father. I need to make sure that my children are sanctified. My children are right with God. And I want to tell you, the most important thing that you can do as a father is to teach your children a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter what your children become, as long as they're saved and born again. I don't know what your son or your daughter's going to be. But if he's born again, that's good enough for me. Because what's the advantage of a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What happens if your son or your daughter becomes a doctor or a professor in this and has no thought nor concept for Jesus? I want to tell you, hell is real. Hell is real. And the most important thing is to tell our children that God loves them. That God has sent his son to die for them. And that God wants a relationship with all of his children. And they are very much the apple of God's eye. Them two twins have got to know that God loves them. That doesn't matter what they look like. What capabilities they've got. God loves them because he loves them. Because he loves them. Because he loves them. Because he created them in the image of himself. And then poured out his spirit inside them. Our children need to know the value of a loving God this morning. So they grow up knowing that whatever they are in life, whatever position they are in life, whatever perspective in life, the one thing that they know above all, like Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job said, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm in pain here, I'm in agony here. I don't even know if I'm going to make it through the day. But this I do know, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that one day I will see him. And I will see him. No other. This is a man who lived thousands of years before Jesus came. But his relationship with God was so real. It was so real. It was so important to him, his relationship with God, that he was a worshipper. In fact, his wife said, "Why don't you curse God?" And the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And believe me, we don't want to go through the stuff Job went through. I mean, when we get a headache, men, we've got a headache. And ladies, you need to understand, when we get headaches, we get headaches. When we get cold, we get cold. Get the, no, I don't want to hear that, Sarah. Sarah, I don't want to hear. When we get cold, you ladies should be more sympathetic. You should be over us, mopping our brows. The love and care that we need. But in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I wonder, have we got integrity like Job this morning? And so Job said, I want to wrap this up. So as soon as the feasting was over, Job as a father was concerned that they might have sinned in some way, and that they might have broken their holiness. And so he decided he was going to pray. So Job did what any watchful and worshipful father did. Job sent out a message and invited his children early in the morning, at the last of the day of feastings. He knew how many sons and daughters he had, so when it came to the very last one, he thought, right, you've all been to each other's houses, I now need to make sure. And with such eagerness in his spirit, he rose up early in the morning and said, there's no time to lose. If you children have broken the laws of God, I want to make sure you get put right with God. And the Bible makes it clear that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And so this is what he says. He says, Lord, every morning you hear my voice. Every morning I tell you what I need, and I wait for your answer. Every morning, early in the morning, get up. And he was praying for his children. Job was in no doubt, he had a faith in Christ. And so therefore he offered up his burnt offerings for his son, for each and every one of them. Just in case. This is what Spurgeon has to say for the next one. The danger of frivolous and even sacrilege talk when even generally devout people are feasting and making merry is ever present. And what Charles Spurgeon was saying is, he spoke on a Christmas morning service. This was his Christmas morning service. And he said to his congregation, be careful how you party this afternoon. Because in those days they partied as well. Spurgeon says, be careful how you party. I think this is good advice, he said. That although the cheerfulness of household gatherings are there, make sure that you don't overstep the mark. Don't forget, you're still Christians. That doesn't mean to say we can't party. It doesn't mean to say we can't enjoy ourselves. Friends, we should party like no other people. Because we have something inside us that we've just got an inheritance far superior than anyone else. If there's any people who should be happy on planet Earth, it should be. We should be able to party like no other people. But listen, you've heard of Christmas parties offices? I've been there. We need to be really careful. There is a level of enjoyment, and then there's a level of overstepping the mark. And Job was so concerned that some of his children had overstepped the mark. Spurgeon goes on to say, it is a day of feasting. If you think after Christmas Day you have overstepped the mark, Spurgeon makes it quite clear. Confess the sin and fly to the sacrifice. The sacrifice sanctifies. The precious blood of the Lamb slain removes the guilt, purges away the defilement of our sin, of ignorance and carelessness. Oh, that's a lovely sentiment. And that's what Job did. Job is a watchful father. Job is a worshipful father. Said, just in case my children have overstepped the mark, I'm going to bring a lamb and I'm going to sanctify them. I'm going to invite them to come to my house after the feasting is over. And I'm going to sit them down and say, listen, I hope you've had a great time. But just in case, we need to get back to worship. We need to make sure that we are put right with God. And as fathers, I keep saying it again, we need to make sure that I'll watch over our children. We need to make sure that we input as much as we can spiritually into their lives. No matter how old they are. Intercede for them. Pray for them. I believe our God is gracious. And finally, there's a verse in Scripture which says this.
Fathers, do not make your children angry, but raise them with training and teaching of the Lord.
The verse is given to parents. It's a command to parents. And what we need to understand, it is God is saying, listen, train them, educate them. Your job is to educate them, train them. It's not to vent your anger out on them. We've got too many abusive parents. We need to understand that God says, as Christian parents, as Christian fathers, you need to train your children. And he said to the women, train your children in the ways of the Lord, that when they grow up, they will not depart from them. In other words, if you train your children about Jesus, the Spirit will always be there. There'll always be something there, even if it's in the back, even if they've wandered away. And I know that. Because even when I did those stuff, God was still around me. God woke me up one morning in my bedroom. And that's why it's so important. You might think us and Danielle and Danny, that we're having a go at you young people. We're not. We don't want you to make the same mistakes we did. We don't want you to make those mistakes. Because I tell you, they were fun, but they were fun for a season. And in the end of the day, they cost you pain. And so the word here on this scripture, one means teaching and the other means putting controls. I want to tell you, you need to, as fathers, put controls in your family. You are the people who decide how much television they can watch. You're the people who decide how much iPad they can use. You're the parents. We live in a world today where, you know, they've got access to the internet and all sorts. I watched a program the other day. Please, I'm not harking on. But I watched a program and there were 15, 16-year-old children all admitting they were downloading porn. And they were saying, it's just a bit of fun. But I'm telling you something, that's dangerous. I don't know what parental controls you put in, but something needs to be done. We have young people going away to fight because they've been influenced, they've been indoctrinated by videos. Job said, listen, I'm not your father. I want to know what's going on upstairs, son. I'm serious, that's what he's saying. I want to know what's going on upstairs. And I don't care how old you are, I want to know what's going on in your life, son. Because I want to watch out for you. And not only that, if you've committed something, I want to make sure that I go to God and I pray for you because I want to be a worshipful father. We learn so much from this man. And that very one verse. His heart that he has. And so, he wants to train people and he wants to control them as we finished. And yes, sometimes that means you have to punish your children. And you know, my mother used to always say to me, as she was giving me a belt, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I used to reply, yes, but not in the same place. There is sometimes discipline is discipline. Should not go over the mark, but discipline is discipline. Children need to know the controls and the boundaries. So we're finishing with these three slides, and then we're going to go out and get the children. So we're finishing with these three slides. First of all, parenting is a continuous job. Job said he did it every. It's... He cannot lose the responsibility of those two girls that he has. Continuous job. He's always been Bob the Builder to them. Won't you? Guarantee if they want a job doing, they will ring dad. There are certain things that you ring your dad to do, don't you? Seriously. Parenthood is a continuous job. That's right. And especially when they're hard of cash. I'm telling you two now, make your own way in life. But it is, isn't it? Can you lend us a fiver, Dad? Why do you say the word lend? There's no intention of paying back. Isn't it? It's true. It's a continuous job. Can I seriously say this? And in front of God, every morning I'm on my knees to God and saying, God, will you look after my goddaughter's kids? I mention their names. I want them to grow up as young ladies. I really do. It's a continuous job. Second of all, if you finish, please. I hope it's a loving job. I hope you love your children. I hope you never abuse them. Because that is not what your job is. And God is angry at people who abuse their children. You are to train them more right, and you are to put controls in. That's not abuse. Controls is not abuse. And finally, and admonish them. I wonder if your kid does something, you get them on your knee or Even if he's 40 year old and he said, having a great day, business, dad, you actually go up and say, son, well done, excellent. I wonder if you admonish your children. I wonder if you put your arms around them and say, son, you know, I just love you. You might think that's soppy. No, it is not soppy. Son, I just want to remind you that I'm always here for you. I'm your loving father who watches over you. And I want to put some worship, some spiritual input to you. But I want you to know this, whatever you've done, whatever you are, I'm your dad. I'm your dad. I wonder, have you got a father like that? You see, I was going to say I was born without a father, but that would be a bit silly. I'm not. But my father died when I was 5. I never knew my father. I grew up estranged to everything that father was about. And without a heavenly father, I wouldn't know what a father is. But I know a heavenly father who loves me. But he still puts controls in my life. My dad is a watchful father. He watches over me. My heavenly father watches over me night and day. And he wants me to worship him. And he's imparted spiritual stuff into my life, which I could never, never have had. May God bless you on a great Father's Day. We're going to sing, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your fatherhood and your loving care.